My guest today is Gail Frateur. Gail, how are you?
Hi, very well.
Welcome back to the show. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time indeed.
Last time you were on the show, we talked about your product, PostSharp. Mm-hmm. And this was, 5 or 6 years ago. Do you remember what version you were on at the time?
That was 5 years ago. You know, I think I forgot which version it was.
What version are you on now?
So we are releasing 5.0. Last week we released the release candidate, and we are working on the RTM, which basically is a non-development work, you know, documentation and the sales website and so on.
So version 5 is right around the corner. First of all, let's back up a little bit for those that haven't watched the first show. Mm. What problem does PostSharp solve?
We solve a problem of scale and of boredom, say very, very abstractly. So
you solve the problem of boredom?
Of boredom.
Oh yeah, people watching this show need to have that problem solved.
Yeah. So, you all know about design patterns. So when we think, when we reason about software, we use design patterns. This is the way that the human brain works, by using patterns. Mm-hmm. But there is no pattern keyword in your compiler.
Okay.
So you can say, for instance, I want all these model view classes to implement I-notify property changed. And I know which pattern I'm going to use. You know, I know how to implement that. I'm going to look at the fields and the property getters. I'm going to see which property getters map to which fields. And whenever I change a field, I'm going to raise a notification of change of a property. So we have an algorithm. Mm. But no, what we are doing is to teach the compiler to actually execute these patterns for you. Okay, so instead of executing the algorithm yourself, and you implement yourself notify property change, we actually teach the compiler to do that.
Okay.
And we provide you with a toolkit that allows you to express patterns that the compiler understands, so the compiler is able to generate the code.
So if you have a whole set of classes or a whole set of methods or a whole set of libraries that all do the same thing over and over again, you can configure it so that you don't have to write that code over and over again.
Yeah, so typically I name notify property change. A very frequent example is logging. Mm-hmm. It can be caching. In multi-threading, there is a lot of repeating code. Like mm-hmm. you need to acquire logs, not to forget things, and so on. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you look, for instance, at multi-threading, there are design patterns in multi-threading, for instance, the immutable pattern. But there is no immutable keyword in C#. Mm-hmm. So we give you the tools. So we give you an immutable custom attribute that actually enforces this pattern, or we give you the tools to create your own pattern and to automate that. So you see how it addresses the problem of boredom, okay? Because you don't need to do this code that is repeating. You can focus on what's special
to your application.
Yes, exactly. What has business value. And it addresses a problem of scale, because when you have an application with like tens of thousands to millions of lines of code, then the main problem you have at this point, when you have millions of lines of code, is not a technical problem. It is not to do something specific. The problem becomes also how to manage your 2 million of lines of code and to maintain. If you have 20 developers, 200 developers, how do you make sure that they all implement the pattern the same way? That's a problem.
Yeah, so
of
when
scale.
You, when this in this context, when you say scale, you're talking about the scale of the lines of code, the size
exactly.
of your code base.
Yeah. Size of the code base, the length of the project, size of the team. And we estimate that when you use PostSharp properly, you may save 15% of your code. You could have a code reduction of 15%. This is typical. It's not up to 15%. Right. You know, this is typical. Hmm. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing for 12 years now.
12 years, wow.
Yeah.
When we talked before, you said you were implementing this concept of aspect-oriented program. That was underneath, fundamentally, that's what PostSharp was using to accomplish those goals. Is that still true?
Yes, it's still true. So aspect-oriented programming is the methodology we are following to accomplish the goal of automating implementation of patterns. So AOP is one technology, and we add static analysis. So we actually can analyze your assembly quite deeply to actually understand what the code is doing. So with time, we understood that AOP is a tool. Yeah. It is how we are doing that. But what we are doing is to reduce repetition in code and automate the implementation or verification of patterns. This is what we are doing now.
Okay. And since version 5 just went release candidate recently, and yep. should be the RTM should be right around the corner, what's new and exciting in this new version?
Okay, a lot of things. That's a major release.
Yep.
So there is a lot of things new. So support for Visual Studio 2017, the new C# features, you know, the multiple return values or return value tuples, value task.
.NET Core support?
.NET Core support, exactly. So we, in 5.0, we support .NET Core. We still need to build on Windows, but you can run on other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we are going to continue the work in .NET Core in further versions, so you can actually build on Linux, iOS. So this is the next step. The first step is to execute on .NET Core. So these are for the new platforms. And the new features, we have a caching aspect, actually two aspects. So one aspect to cache and the other to invalidate caching.
Mm. Okay.
You
mean to flush things out of the cache when they expired, for example?
Yes. So for instance, if you want to cache the return value of a method, that means that if you put the same input arguments, you always have the same output. So you can cache this, and we have a framework that allows you to define the caching keys and so on. It's pretty amazing how simple it can become. So with the first version of this feature, we support the memory cache and Redis. And then there is another feature is a complete revamping of all logging aspects.
Oh, tell me about that.
So we've had a logging aspect for many years.
Can you define that word aspect?
An aspect, this is the thing that implements a pattern.
Okay.
Like an aspect is a transformation that you can apply to a set of methods.
Okay.
For instance, in case of logging, your transformation would be approximately add a try catch, for instance, in the beginning, write a line before the return, write a line, and inside your catch, write a line. This is the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
The transformation is called an aspect.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So with the logging aspect, what does that do?
So the logging aspect writes log entries to back end, any target.
Okay.
It can be analog, log4net, system diagnostics, ETW, Serilog. So we support many backends. And when the method starts to execute, it writes an entry, a log entry with the method name and parameter values and so on.
Okay.
Then when the method succeeds, you get a return value in your log, and when there is an exception, you get also that. So we hear more and more that you should log as much as possible, because hardware and storage becomes cheaper and cheaper, and it's better to like stockpile logs and for later analysis. So, but you still need to transform your code to add logging to your code.
Right.
So here there is a way to add logging to like a whole namespace, for instance, or you say, I want to add logging to all public methods of this namespace.
How did that improve in version 5?
It's much more flexible. you can customize everything. Previously, we would generate the code with a different strategy, but you couldn't influence how the parameters were formatted and how the you couldn't customize anything basically. Mm-hmm. You couldn't create your own target. So we had a few target frameworks like nlog log format, but you couldn't do your own. Mm. And with the new version, the main focus was set on you can customize anything, absolutely anything. So you have type formatters, so you can specify how the values of parameters are being rendered into a string. You can create your complete own backend. That means that if you have if you have your own logging framework, you can actually use the aspect to write to this logging framework or this database that you are using. And there are many logging frameworks on the market that we don't target, so the system is not closed. And we are still very fast. Actually, we are even faster than before, because of some optimizations. So there were two objectives in the redesign. One was flexibility, customizability, mm-hmm. and the second was high performance.
Ah. That's a big deal, because it isn't just disk space that we're worried about when we log. There's always some performance hit.
Exactly.
It's extra work that we have to do every time we enter a method, every time we exit a method. And disk I/O tends to be very expensive in terms of performance.
Yeah, exactly. So now with the new with our new aspect, actually we are faster than calling string.format.
Ah.
Okay, so actually we don't use string.format. We have our own optimized string builder. And so it means there is no way you can be faster if you have a framework that eventually uses string.format. So that means that you can actually do things that were not possible previously because it was too slow.
Oh, like what?
Well, logging like hundreds of thousands of log records per second is now possible. It wasn't possible
before. Oh, I see.
Before.
Wow.
Yeah. So the bottleneck becomes the logging framework. Is not like PostSharp is not the bottleneck in your logging.
I see. Okay. Now PostSharp, it's a commercial product, right?
Yes.
Okay. How do people get it?
So you go to the website www.postsharp.net and you download it. And there is a free edition.
Okay.
Is
that limited in some way?
So currently, you know, by the moment we are talking now, it's the RTM version is PostSharp 4.3. So what you get for free is you can use the product without limitation, but it's limited to 10 classes per project and 50 per solution.
I see.
So you can enhance 10 classes.
So
if your project has 100 classes, you can use PostSharp on 10 classes.
Okay, that's perfect for learning it and deciding whether or not it works for you.
But now with the new version, we are adding something new in the free edition.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have unlimited logging to all your methods, but it's going to be limited to one day after you build. That means that is the developer edition. So you will have the PostSharp diagnostic developer edition.
That's interesting. So if I build every day, then it's not a limitation at all.
Exactly. So it's a developer edition. If you go to production with that, then it will not lock. You will need to buy a license.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. But it's worth mentioning that we have discounts for influencers, students, not discounts, like free licenses complete.
Oh, how do they get those?
You click on discount and you apply with a form and we will verify your credentials.
Okay. And the hope is that you'll love it and you'll tell all your friends and
actually will
influence them in this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else we should have covered that we have not?
Let me think. You know, I think in PostSharp 5 we covered the essential.
Okay. All right.
And You know, I think the right thing to do is to like download the software and then you go to the samples. There is a sample website, samples.podsharp.net, and then you can download and the samples on GitHub, and you will see many examples. There are like there's a dozen of examples of which aspects you can do or which patterns you can implement. So that's a good way to realize what actually you can do. And what's important is to actually change the way you think about writing code, because when you see some repetition, we are used to just be patient, you know, okay, we need to do that. It's enterprise code, it's a part of our job to write this boilerplate code.
Right.
But then you learn that you can do things differently. Mm-hmm. And then you start like looking at your job differently.
Right.
That becomes exciting.
Gail, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Okay, so you know why technology makes friends? You know, I think technology is problem solving. And the way I love to make friends is to solve something together. Like, not just like take a beer together and chat about something, but solve something. Solve some problem. And technology is what helps us solving problems. So friends and technologies are done to be together.